and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would you do if you were a systems engineer for IBM and suddenly God told you to become a salesman? What if everyone around you said it would be impossible? What if you became the top salesman and God told you to leave IBM, to trust Him to care for your family? How does God prepare a person for an extensive healing ministry to more than 20,000 people by the power of God's Spirit? This is the story of Mel and Jean Yukimoto. Mel, who was transformed by one moment in 1974 in Houston, Texas. Transformative moments. That's why we pause at the beginning of our program to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is because of transformative moments. You say, Danny, what is that? What do you mean by transformative moment? Well, to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. In those moments, you see, when you come face to face with Christ and you experience His presence, your life, our lives, cannot be the same. Because He loves you so much. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, my friend, the living Christ, even as He has spoken to Mel and spoken to Jean, and Suzanne, myself, He speaks to you. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, He calls you to a personal relationship with Him. Would you put your trust in Jesus? That is our hope, dear one. That is our prayer. Mel Yukimoto graduated from the University of Hawaii and he and his wife Jean have served at University Avenue Baptist Church and also churches throughout the islands and beyond. Together, they join us in studio. Mel and Jean, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny. We're glad to be here.
So, Jean, first, tell us, where did you grow up in Hawaii?
Oh, I grew up in the Mo'i'i area. The backyard was Manoa's dream. I attended Kuyu Elementary School, Washington Intermediate, and Kaimuki High School. Then the University of Hawaii.
You know, I recently read an article online. I think it was a connection from a Facebook post talking about the uniqueness of Hawaii and how in Hawaii so much can be derived by finding out where someone went to school. And we're not even talking about what college they went to. We want to know what high school they went to in the islands. For those of you who are listening from different states and even different parts of the world, it's a unique thing. In the islands. So, Mo'ili'ili. And how about you, Mel? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Kalihi. And, I went to Kapalama Elementary School, Stevenson, and Roosevelt, you know, when there was the English Standard School system. Yeah. And my dad wanted me to better in English than I normally would have.
Mm-hmm. Who influenced you most? I know you mentioned your dad. Who influenced you most in your growing up years, Mel?
Well, you know, because my parents had a strong influence upon, you know, my dad always said that, he used to earn a dollar a day, working. But he and his brothers had a gas station, and they had a you know, they always been in the automotive industry. And my father was part owner of a gas station called Yuk Service on King and Kalihi, right across from Farrington High School. And but I delivered newspapers from the sixth grade to my junior year high school. And, you know, of course, we didn't have much money, so I had to work. And I had a district manager, Shoso Narikawa, that loved sports, and he organized all the newspaper boys into playing basketball and softball and all kinds of things. That's why I learned to enjoy sports. Mm-hmm. And of course, I went to Kalinian Church, and we had a lot of opportunity to play, you know, at the church.
Now, weren't you there during the time of Dr. Paul Papasang Waterhouse?
Yes, you know, I got baptized by him, mm-hmm. People like Ada Lum and Ginny Lum were there. You know, like Ginny used to come to my home and teach my parents the Bible study.
Wow.
So they became Christian at the same time.
Now, tell me a memory. Every once in a while, if I have a chance, because having grown up there at Kalihi Union Church, knowing a little bit about the history, but what do you remember about Papasang?
Well, yeah, I didn't know him too well, but I know that he gave great messages, and I know that when he was baptizing me, you know, in that church, they were sprinkling the baptism, and he was really shaking. His hand was shaking. It was like he was nervous. But now that I think back, he really was the Holy Spirit filling him up, you know, and. I just remember that about him.
Gene, how about you? Who influenced you most there in your growing up years?
You know, I was in a church service, and the pastor said, you know, without really thinking, just out of the top of your memory, list somebody that had an influence in your life. And it was my neighbor, Mrs. Kataoka. Mrs. Kataoka was a Buddhist. And at that time, I wasn't attending any Christian church. But I list her as one of the persons that had a tremendous influence in my life, because she was not family. She was an elderly lady. But she made me feel like I was valuable. And I just remember that and appreciate that. And that's why I believe that it's so important for non-family members to encourage the young people around them and say good things, wonderful things, because you don't know how your words will affect them later on.
Well, I read something recently from Mel, and he did say and these aren't the exact words, but essentially how in his collegiate years or thereabouts, a young woman by the name of Jean strongly encouraged and inspired him in his faith. You did that in his life. Mel, what happened? How did Jean affect you and your faith at that time in your life?
Well, you know, when I was about 19 years old, I started to drift away from church, and I had to work my way through school. So my ambition was taken over me, and I wanted to try my wings. And I really was not involved in church, and I was in, you know, activities that were, you know, not church. Okay. And then a friend of mine organized a picnic, and in the picnic I met Jean. And, you know, so we started to develop a relationship. And, you know, after I got my job at IBM in 65, we, got married in 67. And by that time, you know, she was inviting me to come to church. And I went to her church, not because of spiritual reasons. I went to church to play softball, okay? I was a fast-pitch softball pitcher, and I loved to play sports, okay? And I was there to play sports. But then when we got married, she asked me, what church would you like to go to? And I said, I want to go to a Kalihi Union Church. And she asked me again, what do you do there? I said, nothing. And she told me, well, if you're going to do nothing, I can't go to that church. So I had to go to her church, and that's how I became a Baptist. And in that church, they taught me to teach Sunday school and got me really active in a lot of different things. Okay, and the funny thing is that I was really avoiding people at Communion Church. And I used to get letters from this man, Ike Akamini. He would say, Brother Mel, I want to meet you. I'm your deacon. And I just threw the letter away. I didn't want to meet him. So when I started dating Jean, she invited me to our first family get-together at the Lawi Chai. And lo and behold, this man comes up to me at the party and says, oh, I'm Akamini. Mel Yukimoto, that name sounds so familiar. That was Jean's uncle. And she had another uncle, Earl Hisatomi, longtime members of Kalinian Church. Yes, yes. And in meeting her, I never got away from Kalinian Church. They're all part of her family. And she could have easily have gone to Kalinian Church because her uncles and aunts were there and cousins were there. Okay. But I went to University Avenue Baptist Church, and that's how I started to grow, as a Christian. Okay. Well, and eventually I became a deacon, and then one year I was a chairman of the deacons. And I felt so bad because, that year the older deacons rotated out. They couldn't serve more than two terms. And I was the oldest or the youngest. And so they elected me to be chairman. And in a Baptist church, the deacon is supposed to be the lay people with, the highest spiritual background. And I was not, You can lie to everybody else, but you can't lie to yourself. And I really felt bad about the fact that I was not a spiritual man. Okay? And Gene, my thing was work, money, and sports. And Gene was going the other way. She led her dad to receive the Lord before he passed away. And spirituality was primary for her. She became even more so a spiritual person, and I was going the opposite way. And I felt that if we kept on going that way, our marriage was not going to last. So here I was on a trip to Houston, Texas with IBM, and I'm feeling bad. I'm a chairman of deacons. I know nothing about being a chairman of deacons. Okay, I'm not a spiritual man. And I just felt that I needed to change. And so that's when I said that prayer. I mentioned in my testimony that I said, Lord, if you would use me this life, I promise you this day that I'll do whatever you tell me to do.
Well, and that was to be a significant moment in your life, Mel. And there are certain moments, dear ones, as you listen to Mel and Jean share their story today, significant moments when you pray. And you are all there in your prayer. I mean, what I mean by that is when you pray, you know what you're praying. Maybe you're at a crisis moment in life. Maybe there's a point of desperation. Maybe there's a specific need in life at that time. When we come back, Mel will elaborate more about his conversation with the Lord, his prayer. And I pose the question to you. When you pray, and you're all there, meaning you know what you're asking God and you're expecting God to respond. And your heart is in the prayer. It's not just words. Yeah, you mean what you're saying. See, somehow in that moment, faith is being activated and it's dynamic, life-changing. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry.
plus a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Mel Yukimoto says, God put a spiritual bell within me that enabled me to identify those who would buy among a crowd of many. For a person who couldn't talk much, it saved a lot of time. He makes reference to that when God, well, why don't we let Mel tell his side of that story. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful that you're with us today. Mel is joins us with his dear wife Jean. And if you'd like to find out more about our program, maybe you're tuning in right now, maybe you caught the tail end of our last segment, you say, hey, I want to hear the whole thing, you can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com for free. And in so doing, pass it on to a family member or a friend. Maybe someone knows Mel, someone knows Jean, or you just hear the story and you say, you know, it's going to speak to them, and I want to use it as a means of reaching out with them, with a friend, with the love of Christ. Mel, you're talking about something that happened in Texas. I brought in about the spiritual bell. It's going to come together. I want you to talk about both. But take us back to what happened in Houston, Texas, that transformative moment.
Well, you know, when I was in Texas, you know, I wanted to see a mega church. And I asked my pastor, what mega church would be in Houston? And he said, oh, Second Baptist Church of Houston, Texas, you know, it's big, you know. So I was going to go to the church. But the first day I was there, I said this prayer. And all of a sudden, I started to hear God's voice speaking to me loudly and clearly. And it never happened to me before. And this voice is telling me to go to this small church, Rice Temple Baptist Church, right around the corner from the hotel I stayed at. At the Holiday Inn in the medical center area in Houston, and I went to attend the church, and I was looking for the chairman or the deacons. Remember, I said I don't know anything about being a deacon, right? And a chairman, and I was in this church in a night service, and I felt this presence of this man behind me, and I just knew that he was the chairman or the deacon of that church. And when the church service was over, I turned around and introduced myself. And I asked him, are you a deacon? He said, yes. Are you the chairman of the deacons? He said, yes. And I said, I've been looking for you. And he was so surprised. Okay. And we became great friends, for the month that I was there in training. And I used to visit him, and he invited me over to dinner several times. And one night, he talked to me about his life and how his life was so unmeaningful. And one day, he had a course that, you know, he learned about selling, and that changed his whole life. And he gave me that course, and I started to listen to it. And the desire came up in me that I wanted to become a salesman. But I was such a quiet guy. You know, even at IBM, management would try to encourage me to talk more because, you know, he said, you know, they will say, Mel, I have to evaluate you and I ask other people about you, but you have to talk for yourself. And I want you to come in regularly and tell me what you're doing. Okay? And they would do things with me and I was a good technical guy, but certainly not a sales guy. But now I had this desire and God started speaking to me, I want you to become an IBM salesman. And I don't know if anybody has met an IBM salesman, they're very dynamic individuals. Mm. Any one of them can run a big company by themselves. Okay. You know, they're outgoing, they're talkative, they're smart, they're very charismatic individuals. And I was everything that they were, I was not. And to be that kind of person was way beyond, you know, my ambition. Okay? I was happy to be in a computer, in a room, you know, with a computer and talk to a computer. And God is telling me, Mel, your life is not about talking to a computer. Your life is about talking to people. So I guess he wanted to train me, so he put me in that position. So I went over. I told my immediate manager, my assistant manager, that I want to become a salesman. And he nearly fell off the chair. Okay, said, Mel, you're not a salesman, okay? And, you know, I don't want you to fail and we have to fire you. What do I want to tell Gene about this? Because he was a friend of mine. But, you know, God kept on egging me on to ask for the position. And IBM had a policy of respect for the individual, which means that when anybody said anything, they don't ignore it. And 1 year later, they called me in. He said, Mel, you've been asking to become a salesman. We're going to give you that opportunity. Okay, but here's the deal. If you fail in that position, you cannot go back to your old position. You're out of IBM. Okay, so go home, talk to your wife about it, and give us your answer tomorrow morning. And this is in February. The year always, you know, I'm already behind time with the other salesmen. I went home. I told Jean about the wonderful offer I had. And she asked me, did God tell you to do this? I told her, yes, he did. You know, without a doubt, that burning part of my heart, you know, I know that God wanted me to do this. And her response was, if God told you to do this, then you have to do it. And I'll be with you no matter what happens. And that was really important because had she ever said, well, what about us and what about the children? Why are you putting us at risk? Because as a salesman, not only about selling, but you're on commission now. You don't have the salary, you know, just the regular salary that you expect. You know, if you don't sell, you don't get paid. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that bad. You know, it really was salary plus commission, but yet it would be a reduction in my base salary. But when she said that, you know, that really encouraged me. So I went back to IBM and said, I'll take the position. Okay, and I was the person most likely to fail in everybody's eyes. Okay, I mean, when my manager went to the branch manager and told him about my request, my branch manager's office was close by from my desk. And I saw my manager going through his office. So I knew he was going to talk about my request. And I hear this loud laughter. Okay. And I know they're laughing about me, you know, on my request. Okay? And that's how really everybody else, you know, mm-hmm. thought about me too. And so this is what I had to do. And normally salespeople get training in sales. But in my case, I was already 9 years with IBM. Okay, I'm a veteran, technical person. Most of the people that went from my position into sales, people that were a lot better than me, they failed in selling. But because normally they're asked by the company, they got back to opposition. But my offer was not that, okay? I'm out if I fail. And so I'm heading into the field confident but untrained. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. And the strangest thing is, you know, let me explain about sales philosophy. Selling is not about convincing somebody about something. Selling is about being aware of who's ready to buy. And so if you see 100 people, you talk to 100 people, out of the 100, 15 will be interested. So you work to 15, and out of 15, 2 buy. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of time to talk to 100 people. Okay? I didn't have enough words in a day to speak to 10 people. So what happened was that a strange thing happened. That I just felt like there was a spiritual bell in me. So that bell would ring every time I was near someone that was ready to buy. And it's not easy to sell computers. These are very expensive things now. Okay? Not everybody buys. And I would know who the two people were who were going to buy. I didn't have to work the 100. Okay? And so in the first month, I started really in March. The first month, I had 2 computer sales. No rookie salesman ever had a start like that. In 3 months, I had 5. Okay? And in our IBM office, there was a bell in the office. And whenever a salesman had a sale, he comes in and rings the bell so the whole office would know about it. Everybody comes up to, you know, it's a big thing. And I would ring the bell and say, "Praise the Lord." I was crazy already when I saw how God was working. And by the middle of the year, I knew I was heading the office in sales. Okay. And it was about September of that year, or maybe my sales manager called me in and said, "Hey, Mel, I went on this trip and I picked this book, you know, while I was there in a bookshop, in an airport bookshop, and I thought you might like this book." And he gave me this book by Og Bendino called The Greatest Salesman in the World. Mm-hmm. And I went home and I started reading the book. And I don't know if you know the story, but, you know, there are 3 greatest salesmen in the book. And Og Bendino has, you know, Christian fictional books, great books. And the story about this bigger boy that wanted to become a salesman. And in the story, you know, I won't tell the whole story, but, you know, he becomes the first greatest salesman. And this bigger boy becomes the second greatest salesman. Then in a surprise ending, he had scrolls that taught sales. And each salesman has to pass it on to the next salesman. And there'll be only 3, you know, in the world. And this beggar boy now, he's old and he's looking for the third person. And the third person ends up to be Paul the Apostle. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Paul said, you know, I found Jesus Christ, but everybody rejects me, so I have to learn how to sell. Okay? And he gave Paul these scrolls, okay, and to study. And Paul became the third greatest salesman. At the moment of the book, when that came to that part, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fell upon me. And it was like electricity going through me. And God started to speak to me. He says, "Mel, because you're obedient and you took the sales position at great risk to your family, I'm going to make you my salesman, just like this story. And I'm going to give you a product, okay, that's going to be really important to the world." And I was on the floor crying, and it was like I was being electrocuted, okay? And to think that God would do this for me. But at the same time, I'm asking God, what's the product? I mean, I cannot match Paul and what he did. You know, the Bible's already written. What more can be done? And I never got the answer.
Well, we're going to need you to obviously take us further. You've got us at the edge of our seats, doesn't he, Suzanne? Okay, so we're at the edge. As you've been hearing the story, obviously you can also sense the depth of his heart from which Mel is speaking. You understand now there's some major decisions have had to be made, some sacrifices had to be made. Jean has been a courageous woman to trust God and to trust her husband. And I mean, put yourself in their shoes. I mean, he's taking some gigantic steps, but he sees progress, incredible progress. When we come back from our break, Mel Yukimoto and Jean Yukimoto will share more of the story about the salesman and how the salesman is given a product, but also, or in connection with, something that is going to bring the touch of God on the lives of people. And more insights, more understanding, and more to share, as he will share. She will share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, I wish I had a bell that would ring inside, that I would know that I would know that it's the voice of God. It's a spiritual bell. Well, you know, Mel Yukimoto has experienced what that is. That's how he describes it, having a spiritual bell. It has helped him in his business career in sales. It has helped him to hear the voice of the Lord. Well, perhaps there are various kinds of a ringing that takes place in our lives, and the ringing that you hear and the ringing that I hear are all customized tones and sounds that the Lord gives so that we're able to respond. The thing is, do we respond? Mel Yukimoto responds. Jean, his wife, has responded, and they're here with us today, joining me along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer in studio to share about responding to the promptings of the Lord. This is the Good Life radio program. Thanks for joining us today. Mel, take us back. So God is working in your life. You're being asked to make certain transitions in your career. What took place?
Well, that first year of selling, I ended up being the number one salesman in my office. Now remember, IBM has several divisions, you know. You know, data processing, you know, they have the federal division, and, you know, my division, the general system division, was for new sales, you know, smaller businesses, you know, smaller computers, you know, in that area. So I led that division, you know, I had about 180% of quota that year. And all the other veteran guys, for some reason, they were having a bad year. So I was only one of three that made quota, you know, and we called it the 100% club, that, you know, you go to a conference on the main and so forth. Okay. And I remember at the conference, you know, there was the highest quota person would be the president of the conference, and he would give a keynote speech to the group, you know, there. And I remember sitting back there, the next year I'm going to be there, and I'm going to give the praise of God for all that he did. And the thing that happened the next year, I could sell yet, but strange things would happen to those business that I bought. Their financial situation, or, you know, things that would take place, then they would have to cancel. And I had an up and down year. It wasn't going smooth like it did the first year. First year was just peaches and cream. Okay? And I went to, like, I was in a hole that I couldn't get out of it. But yet I was still making quota till the last day of the year. Then a construction business that, you know, was trying to get a loan for the computer, the bank turned them down, okay? And I couldn't get the order, and I fell out of the quota. And whereas the first year I was one of the top three that made the quota, the second year I was the only one that didn't make the quota. And I was left behind, and I was really confused, and, you know, and I thought I'll be the greatest salesman in IBM, and it was a struggle, okay, and even the third year was a struggle. But, you know, the first year everything went so easy, I never learned how to sell. When everything went wrong, I learned everything about selling. And what happened was that God taught me something that was going to help me when I got the healing ministry later on. Mm. That no matter what it is, you got to see God. You have to keep your eyes on God and not look at the situation. And it taught me, and that was preparation for God, that when I saw people sick, whether they're in a life support system or whatever it is, I don't see the situation. I only see what God can do for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in some holes that thought I could never get out of, but I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God would lift up, you know, and I took the same attitude in the ministry. And that was training from God. And it was important that I succeeded the first year. But had I failed, then I would have just been discouraged. Okay? And God knew that. And he gave me that success. Okay? It was really easy. Okay, but it was through the downtime that I learned everything. And then came to the point where in 77, I said, God, what's happening? You know, are you trying to tell me that you want me to leave IBM? It's an unthinkable thought for me because that was my security. And finally, God told me through various ways, I can't have time to talk about all the miracles that He showed me that He wanted me to leave. And I had to make the decision, okay? And my immediate manager, my sales manager, not a Christian, but he saw my struggle. And he called me in and he said, Mel, you're going to have to make a decision. Either you're going to stay with IBM for 20 more years or you're going to leave now.
20 more years.
Yeah, 20 more years. I wasn't even fired, but he's just trying to tell you, you cannot be, you know, being tossed by the wind, you know, going to both sides of the coin, okay? And so I came home, we talked with Gene. This is in about September. And I thought about all the risk factors and whatnot and what I needed. So I can't leave now. Because we were also investing. You know, we had properties and rentals and whatnot, you know, and a lot of things to pay for. And I said, no, I can't leave now. So I went back to my manager and said, no, I'm going to stay with IBM for 20 more years. And he was so happy about it. And I even told the branch man about that. And I went home and I felt sick in my stomach. I just couldn't live with the decision. And I knew I made the wrong decision. 2 days later, I went back in again. I changed my mind. Okay, I'm leaving IBM now. And my manager was so sick, you know. And I even to the point where, you know, I wrote a letter of resignation and said, a man cannot serve two masters. Okay, I cannot serve God and money. And he almost cried when he saw that. Okay, but here at one time I chose security and I couldn't live with it. Then I chose insecurity, where I didn't know what the future was going to hold. And I had so much peace inside, just so much peace. Even though I don't know what was going to happen, I just knew it was the right decision. And in making the decision, again, talking with Jean, her question was, did God tell you to do this? I said, yes, He did. Then she says, then you have to do it, and I'll be with you no matter what happens. So even at this time, she never said, what about our family? What about the children? But, you know, they're young, okay? And they're going to private school. They're going to Hawaii Baptist Academy. And she gave the response, and that gave me the courage to take the step. And again, if at any time, in the last time, she had said anything otherwise, I would not have taken a step, okay? And I don't know what would happen if I didn't, okay? But this is the step that I took, and I left IBM, and I didn't know what was going to happen. The day after I left, well, let me share this because it's important, okay? Normally, IBM, when you said give your resignation, you're out the day. They don't want to keep you around, okay? And this was early September. My manager told me, you know what, I can trust you. Because, you know, they told us people can be divisive if they are hanging around. I trust you. I'm going to let you stay to the end of the month. And at that point, you know, I was short of quota. And so soon after that, I had my sale, you know, that brought me up again. I needed one more sale to make quota for that year. Because I was praying, God, you know, it's not good, God, for me to leave IBM at the bottom. But don't you think I should leave at the top? And I had an opportunity. Then I was waiting on this one law firm to give an order. And it went down to the last day. And my manager told me that, you know, tomorrow's your last day. And I want you to leave at half a day. Okay. So I'm in my office in the morning. And I'm waiting for half a day. And he went on a call, you know. And I was waiting for him to come back. And he didn't come back. 12 o'clock came and he didn't come back. And I'm having lunch, and my phone rings. And it's a law firm. It says, you know, Mel, we finally got things settled. That we're now able to purchase the computer, and we want to order it now. Mm. And I got my administration person to write out a contract. I ran down to downtown to get his order. I came back to the office at 3 o'clock. I rang the bell. Praise the Lord. Okay? My manager came out of the office to give me, and I told my manager, this sale means I made my quota, right? He said, that's right, okay? And that's how I left IBM, mm-hmm. Okay? Ringing the bell, okay? And the next day, they had a sign on the wall, Melody Kumode has resigned from IBM. And for 1 month after that, I went into depression. I said, what did I do? You know, okay. And I didn't want to talk to anybody. But I didn't want to have to explain why I left IBM. I'm going to prove that God told me to do this. Okay? And I don't want to explain that at all. So I hid myself for 1 month, okay? Until, you know, I was ready to do some work. And that opened the way that to eventually me to become a consultant. Okay?
Now, in this transition,
yes,
I just find it interesting too that, and I think our listeners would maybe pause. In a moment of transition, there are emotional ups and downs, and you've experienced that.
Yes.
Of course, there's the insecurity of not knowing where it's going to lead, but obviously, as you tell the story, in this moment of depression, the Lord was preparing something. I'm thinking about how, you know, when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac, and he went so far to do it, he must have been just out of his mind, fixing the fire, fixing the sacrifice, putting the wood, the kindling, and the boy knowing that he was going to be sacrificed. And all the while he's going through the emotional turmoil of this outrageous act, God on the other side of the hill, unbeknownst to him, is causing the ram to begin to walk up to the point where he would get caught in the thicket. And dear friend, today, as you're listening to Mel Yukimoto, even in the midst of depression, because of the change, 1 month long, I mean, he's... you know, stepping back from society for a season because of the change. Sometimes you can't see the ram that is coming up on the other side of the hill that the Lord has prepared for deliverance, for victory, for hope. Stand by now. Stay with us. Mel Yukimoto and Gene will share more with us. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, what is God going to do? What is God going to do in the moment when we're down, when we don't feel like there is the solution that we're hoping to find? It's a blurry moment sometimes in our lives. There's a moment where there's a feeling of void, of sorrow and sadness and confusion even. What is God doing in the midst of that? Well, God is preparing. He's preparing us, and he's preparing the way around us, in and through us, for the next step. And you might feel like today, asking that same question, I don't see God working. I just feel myself, my heart palpitating in ways that it hasn't in a long time. But God is at work, preparing. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and our dear guests, Mel and Jean Yukimoto, talking about a moment of preparation, because God is going to move. God is ringing a bell today, dear one, ringing a bell for us to pay attention to what he's saying. And in so doing, be encouraged, be encouraged. Mel, what did God do through that period of your depression?
Well, Danny, you talked about, you know, Abraham asking big sacrifice, Isaac. And actually, the sacrifice was not my family. The sacrifice, you know, when God told me to leave IBM, I panicked. I never knew this was in me. And my response was, God, what about my dad? And my mom? I'm the oldest son, and they depend on me. Wow. My dad couldn't fulfill the goals he had. So I got the education that he couldn't get. I got the job that he couldn't get. I made the kind of money that he couldn't make. And I was fulfilling his dreams for him. He said, God, if I leave IBM, he's going to be heartbroken. And I didn't realize that was so strong in me. That really surprised me. That was my response. And God told me, if you do what I tell you to do, I will take care of your parents. And for 1 month after I left IBM, I couldn't tell my dad. I couldn't tell my dad. And then one day my dad had a vision, Jesus knocking on the door. And he was so excited in that vision. So he asked me, what's happening? And I consulted some Bible teachers, and I told my dad, you know, from what my Bible teachers tell me, that the question is, why is Jesus outside of the house and not inside? Mm-hmm. And my dad, you know, was a Christian, but he had left the church because he was angry that they had fired the pastor and never been in church then. And my dad made a recommitment. And all of a sudden he said, oh, Jesus is inside the house now and talking to me. And he was having these visions, you know, and strong changes. And when he started to have these experiences, I felt now I could tell him why I left IBM, you see. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't happy about it, but at least I could talk to him. And the thing about it is that you know, just many things happened because of leaving. You know, my parents became Christians and active in church. And some years later, I found out that there was a young salesman at IBM ready to be fired because he wasn't performing.
4 minutes left.
And because I left, they gave him my territory, which suited him better, and it saved his career at IBM. Okay. So, you know, but in leaving, you know, it opened the way for, God opened the way for me to have a business and a healing ministry. Mm-hmm. And the business supported that ministry. And that went on for another 13, 14 years. But the third step was that God then told me that I had to close that business and stop the healing ministry. You know, that was only about two. And it came in a dream. A friend that was helping me in my healing ministry said, "Mel, I had a dream about you." And in the dream, all these movers were moving all this furniture out of your brand new office on Kiyomoku and Kapalani Avenue, Commerce Tower. Okay, I was subleasing from Hal Jones, and God told me to, and in the dream, all the furniture went out, and the last thing left was a metal desk that looked like a school teacher's desk. And it told me that I opened the drawer to the desk, and all these gold coins fell out of the desk and filled the office floor, maybe millions of coins. And it was purified gold. Mm. End of the dream. When God had me close the business 6 months later, He started to give me a ministry of ministry to people in counseling. And they came by the thousands. And in those sessions that I met with these people, I discovered what the dream meant. The gold coins were people of the world, given high value, high purpose. But because impurities got into them, they lost their true value. The school teacher's desk was God. And He's going to teach me how to bring purification back to these people again so they can achieve their full value again, achieve the thing that God had meant for them to do. And this is what was taught during this, the third period of time on ministering to people. We're helping to find the things that cause them problems and imperfection, you know, in their lives. And they restore them in that so they can achieve the thing that God had for them. And God had me find out the source of their problems. And the source may go back over generations, but you have to find the root cause. And people don't know what the root cause is. And in discovering that, we develop ways for them to target that root cause, to take it out. And it started to change people in a spectacular way. And even change businesses, families, you know, everywhere. It was solving a problem for everybody immediately. And it was just a spectacular thing to experience. And God then had me start to develop a way to teach this to people and teaching material over the last so many years. And we know we all developed this. And it's funny, Dan, that you're asking me to speak now, because we're ready now to teach and to help Christians to save others in an extraordinary way. And not only solve problems, but to solve them before the problems happen. Mm-hmm. They'll be so fast in doing things. They'll solve problems before a person is born, and even three generations before people are born. See, the problem today is that we're in a correction ministry. We act after something happens. This ministry, you're going to act before it happens, even three generations before it happens. Wow. It will be so fast. Christianity will be so fast. And that's how you're going to stop the homeless problem, the drug problems, all this critical problem. You got to do it before it happens.
How can people today get in touch with you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, Suzanne. Actually, you know what? We need to get that contact. Mel, make sure we get your contact. And for those of you who are listening today, you can contact us at thegoodlifehawaii.com, and we can put you in touch with Mel and Jean and their ministry at this very important time. You're talking about things, Mel, that are, to me, it's a deeper level of progressiveness, because now you're looking ahead proactively at making significant fundamental augmentations that will affect the future, and not just putting a Band-Aid on things to make things look cosmetically better. And that's one of the things I've appreciated through the years. And then I know we're just scratching the surface, but the depth of your ministry and the depth of the healing that is taking place in the lives of people who could testify of the marvel of what God has done through you, and even so, what God will do in the days to come. Dear one, today I hope that you've been moved, as Suzanne and I have been, in the story of Mel and Jean Yukimoto. Remember, the bells are ringing in your heart to respond in obedience to the Lord. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to our Lord Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a video presentation I've set up for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 30, verse 2, Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Mel and Jean Yukimoto. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.